This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show. Glad to be back here at Bandits in Grand Island, getting you ready for a very busy weekend of sports. Today, the NFL draft gets underway. Round one will be tonight. Coverage starts at 7. We have it all day long for you, of course, and the first pick will probably be rolling in at about 7:15 tonight for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and then Tennessee Titans. Okay, so that's tonight. Then, of course, you've got the Kentucky Derby, the Pacquiao-Mayweather fight. You have got all the NBA and NHL playoffs going on, and we have got it all to talk about. Let me run down our list of guests today. Paul Stevens, baseball coach at Northwestern, who announced earlier this month that he is going to retire at the end of the season, and we will talk to Paul to start off the show. Mike Davis, Nebraska Danger football coach, will be joining us as well as they get back-to-back home games. They'll be home on Saturday. We'll give you a chance to win tickets to Saturday's game as well during this jam-packed Doug and Daddy show today. The game is on Saturday night with kickoff at 7 o'clock. Then we'll get to the big events of the weekend. Michelle Yu, horse racing analyst out at Santa Anita Park, will join us once again. Gino Bucola, by the way, everyone's favorite because he gives them the long shot, a horse that got all their tri-tickets filled out last year. He'll join us tomorrow. And also on today's show, we go to Las Vegas. Jay Root, vice president of the MGM Grand. They are the hosts of Pacquiao Mayweather, the big fight on Saturday night. We'll see how crazy it is out there. And it's all today on the Doug and Daddy Show here from Bandits, where their lunch special today is a buffalo chicken salad with garlic bread. Just $4.99. You cannot beat that. And, of course, tonight is wing night. Every Thursday night, wing night. Watch the draft. Watch all of your favorite sporting events here at Bandits. And, as always, our co-host is Steve Anderson, track announcer at Fauner Park. We have to get to the Tri-City Storm, a recap of the Bosselman, the final week of racing, and there is a ton of UNK and Hastings College baseball starts the postseason. It's a busy time. Steve-O, good morning.
Hey, good morning. It's always a pleasure to come back, and I'm getting used to being trumped by ice hockey, no less. When in passing you say, oh, by the way, Joy Boy beat Diamond Joe in the Bosselman race. I mean, just a year ago, we were headline stuff. And now we're like the last 5 seconds, in case you didn't miss it. Of course, we only had 15,000 people out there last weekend, and I'm watching stories about a busted water pipe on an ice skating rink in Kearney as a headline story. Are you kidding me? This is what it's come down to.
I understand your grief because, let's face it, not only us, but some of the other media has taken hits. It depends what your personal favorite is. There's so much going on. And just to think that last Thursday we were together over at Fauner Park for the Bosselman draw. But we will get to all of this up first, though, getting ready to play baseball this weekend. Northwestern and Nebraska, the two NUs of the Big Ten Conference. And we are pleased to be joined once again here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio by the head Wildcat himself. And Paul Stevens joins us. Coach Doug Duda, Steve Anderson with you this morning. How are you? Thanks for the time.
Well, thank you very much for taking the time to have me on. And, boy, just listening to Steve talk there, I'm ready to send a care package. So let me know where I send that big man.
Well, there's no and there's no doubt there's racing right there in the great state of Illinois in the Chicagoland area, Steve-O.
Well, you know, and I love it up there. I got to experience what Evansville, Illinois is all about a couple of years ago, going back there the first time Nebraska teed it off in football, and we stayed in downtown Chicago, and we got on the L and took the train out there. And Coach Stevens, bless you. I appreciate the kind gesture, but back here in these parts, until you come and visit, you really can't see the complex that they built here in little old Grand Island, Nebraska. And so, I get my dander up every once in a while, but we need to go somewhere else, primarily Big Ten baseball.
Well, let's do that. Coach, first off, you announced earlier this month that this was going to be it after a long and illustrious career there at Northwestern. So why now? What made this decision?
Well, just a lot of things, and one of the things is just the where the program's at and where we're going with all the new construction and the stadium. And this place is absolutely very special to me. It always has been. And with all the things that are going on here, it's just time to sit there and move along. And you know what? There's been some great people, great relationships, and all that that I've established in this league. And to have been a part of it for as long as I have, I'm very honored. I'm extremely humbled, and to compete with some of the people, and obviously your coach there is very, very special to me. I've known him a long time, and it's just going to be awesome to square off this weekend again here in Evanston. But I will tell you that last couple of years, boy, we've loved coming to Nebraska. I don't know that, my kids love the atmosphere. We love the people in the community, love the way that people treat you out there as an athlete and representing other universities, and then how just the entire community represents itself. It's been an extremely exciting time for me competing against Nebraska over the last few years. But here at Northwestern, it's definitely special, and we'll just enjoy the last few weeks here and then move along.
Coach, we're still, and when I say we, the state of Nebraska and all of our programs, starting to become acclimated now to the Big Ten. Pretty much every sport has either been on the road or seen the other team come in. And we have seen, in this short amount of time, so much positive change in Big Ten baseball. You've been around it for a lot longer than Nebraska's been a part of this conference. How about the change that the Big Ten has seen and how different it is now than it was 5 years ago?
Well, I think the first and foremost is, the commitment to facilities and upgrading things the way that this entire conference has done from one end to the other. I just am amazed at how this conference has elevated itself. Not that I didn't think there were great players in it before, but I think with the commitments that the universities have put forth concerning their baseball programs, I see nothing but really awesome things ahead, and more people doing what Indiana had done last year, and obviously having four teams ranked, different groups in and out, as you guys were earlier. This conference from top to bottom is definitely, on any given weekend, somebody can do damage on somebody that people were touting very highly. So the competition and the caliber of play in this conference is definitely something special right now.
Coach Stevens, you've kind of caught the Huskers right where you'd like them this time of the year. I got to believe you and your players are licking your chops a little bit, because if there's ever been a two-week period since the season started where maybe the Huskers have been reeling somewhat, they really kind of have their tail between their legs right now. That should play in your favor, shouldn't it?
Well, I don't know that I exactly like that. Last year they were on a really, really hot streak coming in when we went there last year, and I don't know that it's ever in anybody's best interest to think they have them where they want, because if you know what the intestinal fortitude is of the guy who runs the program. He's awful intense, and he knows how to get the most out of his guys in any situation, good, bad, or indifferent. He's a fierce competitor, and his players show that on the field every time they walk out there. And I don't care if they're on a good streak or a bad streak. You got your hands full, and it's going to be something that you're going to have to play as good as you can play in order to beat them.
We're talking with Northwestern baseball coach Paul Stevens here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Let's talk a little bit of baseball. There's no doubt, Coach, you wish you guys were winning a few more ball games, but I don't think people realize that with the work going on your ball club, on your ballpark, and just being in the northern part of the country where you have to be on the road early, you guys hardly even know what playing a home game is.
Well, it's been a little bit more difficult this year because of some of the construction that's going on here, and probably spent the first 8-9 weeks on the road. The part of that has been probably more exasperating than anything is that when you go away on the weekend, we really haven't had anywhere that we can sit there and tee it up to sit there and get, you know, guys, looks, first baseman, third baseman, infielders, outfielders, because we've had to go back inside into the cages and in the indoor turf facility, and your kids really don't get to develop that feel of seeing balls off the bat and balls in the gaps and a lot of different things that you can experience outside when you're able to practice on a field. Your pitchers that you don't use are then thrown back in the cages. So it's been a little bit restrictive in some ways this year, but you try to be as innovative as you can given the circumstances. And we have been out on the field for the last 10 days about and had a home series and about 3 or 4 other home games. So our kids are absolutely elated with the way that the facility and Rocky Miller has developed, and the Pepper family has been more than generous and putting this in place, and it is beautiful, and Nebraska is going to see a whole different side of Northwestern baseball facilities than what they saw the last time they were here, and we're awfully proud of at least the first phase of this project completion, and then the rest of it will be completed in the next phase this next summer and fall, and it's definitely special. But being on the road, you know, you roll with the punches. Our guys had a lot of close games on the road, and I'm really excited the way that they've competed, and hopefully that'll continue this week because we've given some people a run for their money but come up 1 or 2 run shorts in different scenarios. And but I think that they learned a lot about themselves in that time frame.
For the listeners that don't know, Northwestern has played 43 baseball games. Six is all that have been true home games, and those are all recently here for Northwestern. As we said, Coach, the wins haven't been as numerous as you had hoped, but I know we talked about Kyle Ruckum last year. He continues to lead your ball club. How is he improving? Can he take it to the next level as a senior? What do you see from him going forward?
Well, I think he's going to be like a lot of guys that have come out of this conference. He's going to be one of those guys that are just your blue-collar, down and dirty. He's going to do whatever he needs to get the job done, and whether that's at the plate or on the base paths or in the field, this kid is a competitor. He's just someone that understands the subtleties of the little things in the game, and I really believe that this individual has a future after what he does here at Northwestern at the next level, and it'll be fun to see how that that evolves for him because he is definitely a special young man.
I've seen a few teams, even a few teams that Nebraska has battled here recently, and the Huskers aren't hitting the ball at a 300 clip. You guys aren't either. In fact, I think the team batting average, both in the mid-270s, Nebraska's pitching obviously has been a little bit better. How do you analyze the series? Your Friday night guy has done good in Brandon Magalonis, considering the record of the team. Obviously, Saturday and Sunday haven't went your way. What are you looking for this weekend?
Well, it's like every weekend. You're looking for them to put on that uniform, take some pride, and go out there and give you everything they can. And I can honestly tell you, whether the ball's bounced our way or not, you've got to sit there and you've got to throw strikes, you got to make plays, and you got to find a way to get some timely hits. And I like the way that we've matched up with Nebraska in the past. Our kids really enjoy playing them. I think that, you know, the hard-nosed, blue-collar type of approach is definitely something both teams, you know, sit there and thrive on. And at this point, I think it's going to be a great series this weekend. And I'm really excited about having the opportunity to showcase this facility for, I don't know, the seventh and eighth and ninth time in the last week that we've played games here. So we're really excited about this weekend and looking forward to some very, very competitive baseball from both sides.
Nebraska's never had to share the limelight with a professional outfit over the course of time. We don't fight for media attention because we got an NFL team or a Major League Baseball team. Like, you have to deal with Coach Stevens day in and day out. Being on the doorstep, literally, of Wrigleyville and all that's going on up there with the resurgence of the Cubs and the White Sox are kind of trying to make a little bit of a comeback as well. Is that a positive situation for the college environment you have up there with baseball really starting to come back like the good old days? Or do you get lost in the shuffle and ultimately lose maybe some fan interest and a turnout that would be totally different if you weren't in that environment?
Well, I think you kind of hit some things on the head. Sometimes you get a little bit upset with, you know, where the coverage is or isn't and so on and so forth. And, you know, at the end of the day, I grew up on the south side of Chicago. I love our two professional teams here. It's always been great for me because you can root for both teams because of where they're at. But make no mistake, if Northwestern University starts making some noise and these kids get some publicity and our media services people do a tremendous job of when there's stories out there of getting them out, and you may not be the lead story in different formats here, but I will tell you that when there's something notable to be heard, it definitely gets out in this. Yeah, would we like a lot more coverage? But that's up to us to make some noise, to make somebody listen and pay attention. So I think that it's sometimes, you know, you can look at it from a negative side, but I don't look at it that way. I think it's just a great arena that you're in, and there's a lot of things that you can take from it, and we benefit from those clubs being here with different sides of recruiting and everything else. So at the end of the day, I think that if you make noise, the individuals will find you and the publicity will be there.
Coach, we'll let you go with this. Coach Stevens at Northwestern, what's the future hold for you? Are you ready to hang it up permanently? Will you look elsewhere? What would you like to do when the sun sets here, whenever that may be in May or June?
Well, I think at this point, you know what, you just try to, you know, work through the next few weeks and you know, try to figure out how you're going to win, you know, some ball games the next 3 weeks. And after that, I'm just going to sit back a little bit and see what things are out there and where it might take me. But really haven't, you know, had anything definitive. What I really want to do right now is I really want to enjoy the last month of this season, 5 weeks, whatever this group of guys can muster, because they've been a tremendous group of young men. They've dealt with some adversity with a tremendous amount of composure, and I just love the passion that they bring to practice and games, and I'm just going to sit back and enjoy that and then figure out what the heck is next after that. But I'm just looking forward to right now just enjoying the last aspects of being around this group of kids.
Winning his coach in program history, he's a 3-time conference coach of the year, and Northwestern will host Nebraska Friday, Saturday, Sunday afternoon. Coach Paul Stevens, I know it's been a short relationship, and hopefully we'll catch up with you again somewhere at some time, but always appreciate the time you've given us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Best of luck the rest of the way.
Well, I'll tell you what, I've really appreciated it. Thank you very much for giving me the time. But we have a relative that is on the football program, so I may stop in and bang on your door one day in the fall and just say hello. But the Ron kid is one of the kids in the football program, and we're pretty proud of him. And there's a lot of family, as you and I have talked about, out in that area. So one of these days I may just knock on your door and stop in and say hello. But thank you for everything that you've done and given the opportunity to Northwestern Baseball and Paul Stevens to talk a little bit about our program.
Anytime, Coach. Appreciate it. Enjoy your time off.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one. Bye.
It's Paul Stevens, the head baseball coach. Yes, we kind of went through that the previous couple of years when we talked with the coach. He's been out here. He's been in the hunting grounds. He's got family in this part of the country. And we appreciate the coach for joining us here today. We're live at Bandits, where the lunch special today is the Buffalo Chicken Salad, garlic bread, $4.99, wing night tonight, the NFL draft going on, and all kinds of sporting activities with the NBA and the NHL gearing up once again. We will take a break. Mike Davis is going to come in, talk a little Danger football, then it's out to Vegas. Jay Rude of the MGM, Michelle Yu from Santa Anita, handicap the Kentucky Derby. It's all coming your way after this.
So you work late, golf, play ball, whatever. You're thinking,
if I could just have made happy hour, I've got something good to eat after 10 at night.
Well, Jersey says come on in Monday through Thursday, 9 to 11, and enjoy late night happy hour for everyone who wishes they hadn't missed happy hour. And they're serving food till 11.
Seriously, why didn't I think of this?
Jersey Sports Bar, your true neighborhood sports bar where the grill and the game are always on North 2nd Avenue, Vista Point Shopping Center.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
One play can change momentum in a game.
Field goal attempt for the corner with 1.6 seconds to play. Now he launches up a shot at the buzzer.
And one deductible is a game changer when it comes to your insurance.
He hits a 3-point field goal with the state championship.
That's why you should see Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your Farm Bureau agents. They can bundle your car and home together into a single policy. So, if life sends a blitz in the form of a storm or fire,
kidding me.
You'll pay just one deductible for everything that's covered. Talk to Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers today and see how simple it can be. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company, securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliates, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Plenty of sunshine across the area for today, with those high temperatures reaching the mid-70s. Then for tonight, partly cloudy. A chance for a shower storm developing late will cool to a low of 51. I'm meteorologist Michael Caro, currently 66 degrees.
Let's go. Ain't no way they can stop me now. Really, 'cause I'm on my way. I can feel my ring coming. It's the blood of a champion.
Way down in central Nebraska, ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us on today's program, live from Bandits, where you can come in anytime. How about after golf? Bring in your golf scorecard, receive your first drink for only a dollar. It's a great place to come in, watch a little golf, horse racing, hockey, the draft, the Kentucky Derby, of course, on Saturday. So much going on here at Bandits. And let's take a look at our Midtown Mart cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. Again, this has come up numerous times about the designated hitter rule, and Randy and I were on two different sides of this yesterday. Do you like the designated hitter rule is basically what it comes down to, or should it be changed? And so discussion has been made about the need for changing the designated hitter rule for Major League Baseball so both leagues play by the same rules. Would this be a good thing? 64% of you say yes, both leagues should play by the same rules. Steve Anderson, you're a baseball boy. What do you think?
And a purist.
Yes.
And a
You know what? Everybody that's old is a purist.
Yeah,
older.
Well, okay.
Older than 25.
Well, if you're familiar with Bob Costas, I come from his school of thought. Okay, so the best scenario in my mind is to go back and play the game the way it was intended to be. But if, in fact, we have to deal with the designated hitter rule, then we need to either go all DH in both leagues or take it out and standardize the game. You just can't continue to play two different kind of games and then penalize one team on every one of those World Series games at the end of the year, regardless of what your feeling is about having the DH or not having the DH. Something's got to give here, and I think it will. And probably they'll go, you know, I'm a Cardinal fan, too, and when Adam Wainwright went out the other day, I certainly was on the let's get the DH into the National League bandwagon, but I still would rather not see it completely.
The 141st running of the Kentucky Derby is Saturday. How much are you looking forward to this year's event? Well, you know here, we look forward to it every single year. Vote on our Midtown Mart Cooler question at ESPNSuperstation.com. ESPNSuperstation.com. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't like the favorite. We'll talk about it with Michelle Yu a little bit later on, or maybe even Jay Rude. Mike Davis, head coach of the Nebraska Danger, joins us live here at Bandits. And, well, you're a horse racing fan. You got an early prediction for us? You're going to have to watch the race and then go coach.
Live streaming from the office.
They'll probably have it on in the arena.
What a wonderful thing, live streaming in my coach's office. Yes.
you got an early pick for us?
Yeah, I mean, there's three or four that I like. I don't know. I haven't really looked at it enough to know, but you can't throw out materiality and kind of like a firing line. But besides that, I really haven't dug too much into it.
Well, let's talk football. You guys continue to win, and the big brouhaha while we were away. Was talking about Jameel Sewell possibly getting a chance at the next level. He played for you last week. He was gone the week before. You had some injuries. What's Jameel's story as we sit today?
He's here. He's still with us. It's probably a six-week decision. They have a guy that's got a contract up there, and they're trying to figure out what they're going to do with him. And the GM likes him. The head coach likes Jameel. And it's the nature of the business. That's the thing. It is a business. So, owners don't want to spend money on guys that haven't been playing. And, if they've spent money on guys, they want them to play. And it's tough to get a guy like Jameel in there when that's who the coach wants. It's a tough battle to be in, as being a head coach. And obviously I don't have to deal with it on the larger scale like that, but, he'll get his opportunity, and when that time comes, he'll be ready.
How do you deal with these contracts then, Mike? Again, I know that's not your expertise, but do you write these things up so it's just a game-by-game basis with the option for your players that they can pursue these other avenues on any day of the week?
No, our contracts are one-year contracts, and they're non-binding to NFL and CFL opportunities. So if an NFL or a CFL team calls, then we put them on an exempt list. We still hold their rights in case they don't make it, and when they come back, they come back and play for us. So that's kind of how you get around that. Obviously, that's our goal, is to help guys, promote guys to get back outdoors. And, it's good for the team. It's good for the league if he does make it. And so we'll wait. It's a waiting game now.
Nebraska Danger coach Mike Davis with us here at Bandits on a Thursday Doug and Daddy show. If Jameel is plucked away from you before the season ends, we're now into the second half of the season. We're looking to playoffs. You want everybody, if they don't get injured, you want to be set there, and he's been your man for so many seasons. What's the plan? I assume you've got one in place.
Of course. our backup, Brian Parnes, can get the job done. Obviously, we'd go out. I have a contingency plan with a couple other guys. Ryan Perlew is one of them. Xavier Lee is one of them. There's a couple big-name guys that have experience and could lead this team. Obviously, with the weapons we have, and the running game that we've been able to put on the ground this year. I don't need somebody to come out and be a world beater. You know, Jameel's just a bonus. You know, what he can do athletically, and when he wants to take a game over, he just puts it in his mind and he takes a game over. It's tough to find another Jameel Sewell just sitting around out there ready to come play. But like I said, we're happy with our backup, and if that's the way it goes, that's the way it goes.
First month of the season, we discussed that you were winning, not playing great. And you don't want to be playing your best ball early, as we all know. You want to have it then at the end, but you want to be playing good. How about the last month?
Getting better. You know, happier with, you know, stop worrying about the slow starts. We just try to be efficient. And I've used that word so much lately. That we just, you know, if we get the ball offensively and do what we're supposed to and get points on the board defensively, you know, we'll get stops. And when we get the ball back to the offense, they have to take advantage of it. You know, we've dropped a ton of turnovers, interceptions and stuff defensively that we'd like to have back, but it's part of the game. You know, you got to kind of learn with it, and it just lack of focus.
So where do you come up with a guy like Malcolm Williams? There's no secret out there that offense is what puts fans in the stadium. I don't care if it's indoor football or the NFL, and for crying out loud, the rules now have tilted in that direction. As Mike Dickus says, this is tackle football, doggone it, but you can't hit anybody anymore. So up steps Malcolm Williams, who could be a difference maker for you. Where does he come from?
You know, we played against him last year twice. He was a good player, and honestly, I lost track of him. Didn't know where he was, didn't have a contact number on him. And Jasonis Tillery, which is a receiver we have, was like, hey, coach, I know we're looking for another DB. Would you be interested in Malcolm? I'm like, yeah, where's his number? Gave me his number, talked to Malcolm. I knew Jamar Love was leaving this past week, and it was one of those things. It was like, hey, let's get you coming up here on Sunday. Well, then I had a guy go down. I called him right after practice. I was like, hey, can you be here tomorrow? He's like, coach, I'll be there tonight. Got in his truck from Dallas and drove up here. But that's the kind of guys you want. He stepped in, learned the whole playbook in one day, and been making plays ever since.
Just wanted to hit somebody one more time. Huh? Have you read his bio, Malcolm Williams? He had a great story in the paper this morning. I mean, these things, I mean, you just can't make them happen, but he played in the Super Bowl not that many years ago for the New England Patriots.
3 years
a great
ago.
Story. And now he's here in Grand Island. Hey, why wouldn't they be?
Well, yeah, I mean, you've got a great football team, but yes, I mean, It is a business that weird things can happen. I want to take a quick break here, let our producer Brent back at the studio know. Go ahead and give Jay Rude a call out at the MGM. He is awaiting our call, so let's call Jay out in Las Vegas. He's going to be up next here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coach Billings, Saturday night, what about the matchup?
You know, expansion team, they've been in every game until late in the third quarter. A lot like Bemidji. If you let them stick around, they're going to find a way to get a little confidence and bite you at the end. So we want to try to get out and get a good start like we did against Bemidji last week. And this week, hopefully, we have a better second quarter and don't let them back in the game. I mean, you know, the frustrating part about last week is we dropped four interceptions, and the next play they scored touchdowns, and that, all in the second quarter. And that right there is what, you know, kind of what led them back in the game. And you can't let those things happen.
Coach, we've talked about the quarterback situation. There's all kinds of other stuff going on out there. You want to read it?
No.
Oh, the fake Doug Duda apparently wants to know if wants you to ask me, or wants to know if I'm going to get drafted tonight in the NFL draft. And so we all know.
Mr. Irrelevant?
Yeah. As always, I don't even have to get selected.
Is there an inside joke I've missed? The fake Doug Duda?
There's a Twitter account, fake Doug Duda, and everybody thinks I know about it. I'm not on Twitter. I don't know who it is, but we have fun. It's like the fake Bo Pelini, only on a much lesser scale. So we appreciate fake Doug Duda out there. Thanks for following that, by the way. Michael.
Always entertaining.
Anyway, are there other spots, because it's not just Jameel, other guys come and go. Where are we setting right now as we get into, as again, that second half of the season where you hope to be a little more solid with your roster?
You know, I'm happy with where we're at. Obviously, with the guys, barring any crazy injuries, you know, I don't foresee us making too many more moves, honestly.
Good.
this team is gelling just kind of how we wanted it to as a staff at the beginning of the season. And a couple additions maybe here and there, maybe a couple subtractions just to even out the roster for the roster freeze to make sure we have subs and backups for the playoff push. But besides that, it's, you know, get Billings, take care of Billings, get a bye week, and get ready for the showdown at Sioux Falls.
All the sports. You're a sports guy. We talked about the Derby. Do you follow boxing? You got a pick for Saturday in the Mayweather-Pacquiao?
Yeah, I don't know. I think Floyd wins, but I think it's going to be a heck of a fight. I would love to see Pacquiao beat him just because it would force a rematch. But the longer it goes, the worse Pacquiao's chances are.
Can I ask Coach Davis a personal question?
Well, you can ask him anything you want. I don't know if he'll answer it.
No, this has to do with halftime at the football games. I've often wondered, and they have some of the craziest, wackiest things going on at halftime of these indoor football games. Do you just take a break every once in a while, open up that door and look out and see, for crying out loud, what are they doing tonight? I have seen a hula hoop contests out there I was laughing so hard couldn't watch the second half of a football game. But Charlie Bossman and his crew, I mean, they're endless with these kind of promotions.
You know, that's when it goes to halftime, we kind of shut the locker room door, shut my office door, and just kind of take a deep breath. I don't want to know what's going on. I hear stories just like that over and over and over, like what's going on. And the less I know about halftime, the better. I normally have other things to worry about. You know, the nice thing about our team is I have a mature, laid-back group. Like, as soon as locker room, we talk, and then instantly you hear the music go right back on. As soon as we're done talking. And those guys are having a good time, and they know the task at hand. And as long as they continue to stay focused, I won't fuss about it.
Michael, always appreciate the time, and enjoy everything that goes with the weekend, and let's get another win.
That's the plan.
Mike Tavis, head football coach of the Nebraska Danger, joining us here on the Duncan Daddy Show live from Bandits, getting ready for this very busy weekend. We are going to give you a chance to win tickets to the Danger game coming up in a little bit as well. But we switch gears. We've been talking about it all week. Always love Jay Rude joining us, vice president of the MGM, or as we call him, Mike Perenio's boss. You know, if we knew that they were going to give Steve Anderson, my co-host today, if we knew that every ESPN radio show was going to get to be at the beach at Mandalay Bay like Coward is, we'd have come out. Jay, what's going on? Good morning. Thanks for the time.
Good morning. Yeah, it's pretty crazy out here.
Steve, would you be it? Would you take the beach?
You guys didn't get the assignment out here.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I'm a little tepid when it comes to sticking my foot in the sand or the water, but my wife would have no problem with it. We've been to Mandalay Bay, and it's a gorgeous setup. Maybe from this interview situation here, I can create an end with Jay, and we can become better friends and a regular customer.
Well, there's no problem with customers this week, is there, Jay?
Yeah, you got the right guy on your show normally, Mike, if you want to stick your toes in the sand at Mandalay.
Well, Jay, obviously it's just psychotically busy out there. Can you give us a sense? I said, you know, there are a select group that follow boxing and go to all this boxing stuff. I was fortunate enough years ago to attend a heavyweight championship fight. How long ago was it? It was actually out in Atlantic City when Holyfield fought Foreman, and that was psychotic 20 years ago. What's it like right now in Vegas?
It's nuts. I've never seen so many media trucks out here. Boxing fight. I mean, there's going to be people here that there's going to be people betting on this that have never bet on a boxing match before. It's absolute pandemonium right now, and we're still 72 hours in the book.
How will this? I mean, you already can get a sense of some of the numbers. I mean, the Super Bowl is the biggest day and the biggest weekend. Is this going to blow some of that stuff away, or is Super Bowl Sunday still the granddaddy of them all?
Super Bowl Sunday is still going to be the granddaddy of them all. Because we're talking about statewide wagering dollars. Every casino, every little nook and cranny sports book that there is out there, you know, has considerably more business on Super Bowl Sunday. This is going to be mainly driven by the properties that are down on the Strip corridor, You know, our properties with MGM Resorts, we're having 10 viewing parties at all 10 properties. And, you know, we're going to have upwards of 50,000 people in those viewing parties, plus the 17,000 in the arena. So close to maybe 90,000 people. You know, we're going to have windows at those parties, so we'll be able to take bets right until they get it on Saturday night. So we're looking at a really big number, probably somewhere around 60 to 80 million booked on this. For a boxing match, that's huge when you consider that the Super Bowl last year was 120 million. So we're going to be just shy of that Super Bowl number, like two-thirds of it, but it's still going to be really strong action for the properties that are on the Strip.
Vice President of the MGM in Vegas, Jay Rude, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We've got three or four more questions, and we'll let you get on because I know you're swamped out there. But how we know early on that the line was really high. I want to say plus 400. It's down to around plus 180 and Pacquiao, but it seems to have leveled off. Is that the case, or are we starting to see money sway the line here the last day or two?
Yeah, we've steadied off in the last couple of weeks. We actually opened the fight minus 240 plus $2 Pacquiao. There was other places that had it up prior to that, as high as $3 plus 250 on Pacquiao. I thought that was a little too high, so we priced ourselves a little bit shorter when the fight was made. We didn't have a number on it before they inked the deal just because we host the fight. We don't want to show any disrespect to either camp by putting the number up prior to that. So, you know, once we did put it up, it was all Pacquiao money. They took the plus $2. They drove it all the way down to about 2 weeks ago. You could have had Mayweather minus $1.70, which is by far the shortest price he's ever been, I think, you know, since he came out of Golden Gloves and in the Olympics. So it's a pretty good value for either fighter proposition if you look at it. Mayweather's usually a $4 to $5, $6 favorite in most of his fights, and the same with Pacquiao. Pacquiao's usually a strong $3 to $5 favorite in his fights. And so if you like either side, you're getting a heck of a deal from a betting.
Jay, if you aren't one of the lucky ones to have one of those 17,000 seats in the arena, are the sportsbooks out in Vegas going to be hooked up to a closed circuit situation, or is it blacked out during the actual live portion of the fight?
No, the sportsbooks unfortunately will not be carrying the fight live. We are offering the closed circuit viewing parties at the properties up and down the Strip, the MGM Resort properties. The other properties in town will not be able to show the fight. So if you want to see the fight, you got to get to an MGM Resort property. There's still tickets available for closed circuit. I know even today some of the properties are still scrambling to find more venues. I mean, we're opening up every little nook and cranny that we can. If it holds 50 people, we're opening it up, trying to put people in there to watch it because we know, you know, we have probably about 250 to 280 visitors in town this weekend. And you know, right now, we've only accommodated about 90,000 people to view the fight. So there's still quite a bit of demand for it.
Can you give us an idea of what the scalpers are getting for some tickets to get into the actual arena where the fight's going to transpire?
Yeah, I mean, it's been kind of nuts. You know, there wasn't very many public tickets put out for sale, but the secondary market for some of the tickets, you know, I've heard ringside's going for about $150,000 a ticket. Which I think a lot of college tuition is. I don't know if I would be willing, even if I had the money to do that, I don't know if I would do that. It seems pretty crazy, but there's plenty of people out there willing to do it. You, even the lower price tickets, which are, you know, I mean, it's not really a bad seat in the Grand Garden Arena. It's a pretty small arena. It's got great views. There's no obstructions, really. So even the $1,500 seats, the face value ones, are, I think, are going from somewhere around, you know, 7,000 to 8,000. So it's a pretty strong secondary market right now. I'm sure the brokers are doing pretty good business.
A couple minutes left here with Jay Rude, Vice President of the MGM Resorts, and all that's going on this weekend out there. Jay, how does the fight overshadow money that would be bet on the Kentucky Derby or any of the NHL, NBA playoffs and all the other daily business out there?
Well, it's obviously going to overshadow some of that. I mean, it's the focal point in the weekend, but I think the fact that the, you know, we've got the Derby going on the same day, and we've got some pretty good quality horses in the Derby this year with, American Pharaoh and Carpe Diem and Dortmund. And then, beyond that, there's some really nice prices out there that's available. But I think it's cool that American history, is sort of coming full circle here, that sports betting was deeply rooted in horse racing, American gambling deeply rooted in horse racing and boxing. And it's sort of front and center stage on Saturday. So I think there's going to be plenty of crossover. The people that are here for the Derby are going to bet the fight, obviously. And the people that are here for the fight, I think, are going to come out of pocket and enjoy, the fastest 2 minutes in sports to start their night. So I think it's going to be a good handle for both. Obviously, there could be a Game 7, Clippers-Spurs, which could be huge. But it'll definitely be the biggest sports Saturday from a booking perspective that we've had probably in, 10, 15 years easy.
Jay, from a news standpoint, security. Obviously, with that many people out there, and it's boxing, and we don't have to overplay it. I mean, stuff has happened before. How is everybody feeling about that this weekend?
Well, yeah, absolutely. It's on the forefront of everybody's minds. We learned a lesson here a couple years ago with when letting the arena out. We tried to funnel them all one way years ago, but now it's just we sort of open every exit and allow them to go out as quick as possible, and we've seen that it's worked a lot better because the more people have to stand shoulder to shoulder trying to get out a couple of exits, it was creating a little bit of animosity between probably the two fan bases of the fighters. So this way it's a little bit easier for everyone to sort of separate and get out. But, we're going to have beefed up security. We're going to have Metro all hands on deck on for this to make sure that everything goes smooth. We've been really lucky, and I think we're lucky because we prepare out here in Las Vegas, with the big events. This is not like it's the first time this has happened, which is, the reason why these kind of events should definitely happen in Las Vegas, because we're prepared for it, and our security forces and our police out here, are very prepared for any kind of situation that can occur. And I'm not sure that that can be said for a lot of places if this fight were to end up, different areas or a big place that doesn't normally host these type of events. But we prepare for the worst and hope for the best, and we've been pretty lucky so far. So hopefully Lady Luck is on our side that night as well.
Hey, Jay, I haven't speculated in a boxing match for almost 15 years. I kind of got soured on it because we were up in Reno back when Mike Tyson was fighting Evander Holyfield, and a buddy of mine that particular night talked me into investing in the over on number of rounds this bout would go, which I gladly jumped in on, and the bout never got to the second round. That was the famous match that Tyson bit Holyfield's ear off, and they called it. But what's the over-under? Is that proposition still up there for this particular fight?
Yeah, we do. Actually, I put up multiple of those on this particular fight. Normally, we just have one, but and the original one was 11 full rounds, and it will go as minus 350, since both of these guys tend to, their fights tend to go the distance and it goes to decisions. 12 full rounds, but, the full distance. And then we have 9 and 7 as well that you can bet on. If you're betting over 7, you got to lay almost 10 to 1. If you're betting under 7, you're getting 6-1 back for a payment if it ends before the final bell of the 7th round. We have a lot of props, as much as we possibly can on a boxing match. It doesn't lend itself to a whole lot of props, the sport itself. There's not like yardage or catches or many of those things. But we did put up a scorecard prop since most of these fights end in a scorecard. You can bet on the over-under of the cumulative points that the judges give each fighter. At the end of the fight, when it's like 117, 112, or 113, they add those together, and Mayweather's price is 347.5, and Pacquiao is 336.5. So technically, you could kind of try and middle the fight if you want. You could bet, Mayweather to win the fight, and then you could bet Pacquiao over his points, and you could still win both.
Jay Rude, Vice President, MGM. I'll let you out of here with this. We know that when it comes to like rock stars, they've got weird requests. Maybe they need green M&Ms and special kind of water. Have you heard any stories about outlandish requests from either camp?
No, actually, I haven't. The press conference yesterday went really mellow. You know, they actually had a headline in the paper today, Mellow Mayweather instead of Money Mayweather. So it's gone extremely smooth. Yeah, I don't think there's been, you know, as far as I know, I mean, there might be some things that I don't know, but both fighters are doing what they're supposed to do. They're, you know, they're playing nice. I think most of the tension and most of the issues is is with the promoters from either side. You know, that might be where there's more fireworks tomorrow at the weigh-in with the actual fighters.
Okay, we'll let you get back to work. Always appreciate the time you give us on the Doug and Daddy Show. I know our listeners always enjoy not only the Mandalay Bay but all the MGM properties. And stay safe, and I know Monday morning everybody will need a well-deserved rest.
Oh, absolutely. I can't wait for the sun to come up Sunday morning.
All right, Jay, thanks for the time on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Anytime, guys. Enjoy. Bye.
From the MGM Resorts, Jay Rude, they're always great to us on the Doug and Daddy Show. We got to keep moving along because we got a lot to get to. Michelle Yu is standing by to handicap the Kentucky Derby. We'll talk to her from Santa Anita next.
Today, buyers need the OneRocky.com edge. Finding out first is what gives you the best chance of finding the right home. Kearney's best real estate website just got better with customized listing notifications sent right to your email. As soon as a new listing meeting your criteria becomes available, you'll be notified. Log on to OneRocky.com and get signed up now.
Yo, this is Rocky. My customized listing service is not junk email. We don't even collect data. It's just my way of putting you first in the hunt for the right home.
Put Rocky Geyser in your corner because he cares.
OneRocky.com.
We've waited all winter for this. The colors of spring. Steinbrink's Landscaping and Greenhouse has their roots planted right here, and no one brings you more color. Our colorful geraniums, hanging baskets, vegetables, herbs, and tomatoes will all flourish at your home because they come from ours. We're Central Nebraska's largest nursery and greenhouse with the best selection of trees, shrubs, roses, perennials, and ornamental grasses. Locally owned, locally grown. Come see the color at Steinbrink's, 2 blocks south of Highway 30 on 30th Avenue, Kearney.
Hi, Bo here from your locally owned and operated Hastings, Kearney, and Grand Island GNCs. At 80 years young, GNC continues to be the world's leading nutrition and supplement provider with guaranteed product purity, potency, bioavailability, and pricing on everything in the store. Don't settle for second best. Trust the company and products with over 80 years of experience to meet and exceed your health and wellness goals. Only at your Hastings, Kearney, and Grand Island GNCs.
GNC, 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 GNC.
Where you're a neighbor, not a number, we're Custom Pack.
This week at Custom Pack of Hastings, get USDA Select Boneless New York Strip Steaks, only $8.98 a pound. Deli Homestyle Potato Salad, only $1.77 a pound. And 2 to 3 pound individual pork baby back ribs, just $3.44 a pound. It's all at Custom Pack of Hastings.
At Custom Pack, you're a neighbor, not a number.
I'm a business owner, and we called Kearney Crete & Block when we needed a new and inviting-looking driveway.
We called Kearney Crete & Block when we decided to do a fire pit and patio. You should be calling Kearney Crete & Block and Christensen Concrete for all your concrete and masonry supplies. Let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and value of your home and business. Kearney Crete & Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
Doug and Daddy's Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, again live today at Bandits. Doug Duda, Fodder Park track announcer Steve Anderson with me. We're just not that far away. Of course, no place in Grand Island that far away from Fodder Park. So enjoy the Kentucky Derby, and if you're in town for the event, pre and post right here at Bandits. And, of course, our lunch special today, the Buffalo Chicken Salad with garlic bread, for only $4.99. Can't beat it. Tonight is wing night with the NFL draft going on. Enjoy Thursday night wings here at Bandits. But Steve-O, it's time to really talk horse racing here for the next couple of days. Our analysts that we've had have always had good stuff, but Michelle Yu and Gina Bucola have been two that have just been knocking them out of the ballpark ever since we've had them on the show. Not overlooking your picks, by the way, but our two national analysts, they're 1 and 2 on the leaderboard.
I understand that. I'm also concerned. Did you prep Michelle Yu on the fact that I was going to be a part of this show this morning? It may have been a big hole in your schedule. If you had have given her any forewarning.
I try to keep it under wraps. Michelle, welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show. How are things at beautiful Santa Anita today?
Thanks, guys. It's perfect weather out here, as you would expect. And I think we're missing a little bit of the Derby fever. We had such a strong contingent, and they're all already gone. Clocker's Corner seems a little bit lonely.
Well, let's jump right in to picks here. The Oaks, to me, seems like with the general public, and I don't know why, because I don't think it's a gambling thing, but it seems like the Oaks, just over the last 5 to 6 years in this part of the country, has been getting a lot more play than it ever did. Nobody really paid that much attention unless you were a true horse person. Is there a reason Oaks has started to get a national attention?
I felt like when I was in Kentucky, the Oaks ended up being people's favorites because that was the day that locals got to go out to the races. So I think it kind of started maybe somewhere around 10 years ago that it started being a bigger day. And then, of course, you know, tying in with the breast cancer thing, and they have the big rallies. I mean, it's just become more of a nationally watched race, I feel like. And it is just as important to the fillies as the Derby is.
Yeah, and then, Michelle, the fact that they've tied all these marquee races together on a two-day basis by giving you the option to bet a Oaks Key Derby double, I think it just lends itself as well to creating kind of a soap opera type atmosphere where the carryover is natural. If you're there the first day, you got to hang around for the second day or vice versa.
Not only the Oaks Derby double, which is one of my favorite wagers every year, but also the pick three with the Oaks, the Woodford Reserve, and then the Derby. That gives you a little bit of everything. And especially, you know, the last couple of years with Wise Dan running in the Woodford Reserve, it made it even more of a marquee event. So some really fun wagers like that you don't have to be a handicapping genius to play.
Yeah, Michelle, you're my kind of gal, man. Playing these horizontal bets, I can't get enough when I tune in and listen to all the discussion on these pick fives, these 20-cent unique ticket pick six deals that are going on down in South Florida. By the way, Michelle, I've never had the opportunity to introduce myself, and I know my the head guy here wouldn't take that advantage either. But my name is Steve Anderson. It's a pleasure to meet you. And I'm not related to the Steve Anderson that writes for the Daily Racing Form. Don't even spell our last name the same. However, I've been working in the thoroughbred horse racing game for the last 12 years at Fawner Park, calling horse races. And I just want to forewarn you, I've got about 50 years of race watching and wagering experience. So I've really been looking forward to visiting with you. Have you ever been to Fawner Park, by the way?
I have not been to Fawner Park. It is nice to meet you, by the way. You have that sound of a race caller in your voice. I haven't been, but it kind of sounds like a track that I would love.
Michelle, we've got a few folks always want predictions. So, Big Game James.
Hello?
I think we're having some. Michelle, can you still hear us?
I hear you now. You beeped out for a minute.
Maybe we're having some phone difficulties with Michelle. Okay. Sorry, Michelle.
Can you hear me?
Some of our listeners just want your handicapping of the Oaks.
Of the Oaks, I know Stellar Wind is the morning line favorite, and I'm usually a play against the favorite type, but I thought Stellar Wind has just been so dominating as of late out here in Southern California. I know I'm a chatterbox, has been really good back at the fairgrounds, but she's going to have to be stretching out for the first time. I'm going to have to see how she does that. I think Stellar Wind is going to be able to handle that beautifully. I also like Condo Commando. I think she's going to end up getting a little bit overlooked, you know, people thinking she didn't leave the East Coast at all, but she has shown time and time again that she is a really classy filly. I expect her to be forwardly placed there. She's got a really great jockey up on her. And my long shot is going to be Shook Up. She's a little bit of a head case, or I guess you could say a lot bit of a head case, and her biggest critic is herself, and she does her own worst things to her. But I think she has some talent deep down inside. And when you get Steve Asmussen at 30-1, that has to be some kind of play right there. So I'm going to use her in my exotics as well.
Chris and Carney, want your knowledge on the 14 horse, if it's pronounced Puka, is that right?
Puka, yeah. You know, I haven't been too familiar with Puka. We watched her kind of last year, and I've been watching her train. She seems like she's a nice moving filly. I just think that there's a lot of quality this year, and if she wins, kudos. I'm looking elsewhere, and I got my own little price horses.
Well, let's move on to the 141st Derby. And the 20-horse field is just tough to handicap. But I was scared. Steve and I like the same horse on a Thursday morning that's a double-digit favorite here. But what about the favorite in American Pharoah?
Well, first of all, I want to say I think that this is going to be one of the deepest derbies. This is like a reminiscent of a 2007 derby where you're going to go back and there was, you know, Street Sense and Curlin and all these fantastic horses. I feel like this is one of those years that top to bottom we're just going to be unbelievably deep in here. I was not a big American Pharoah fan to begin with when he lost it at the races in Del Mar. I know he came back to win, then he got derailed and, you know, I watched him train leading up to Arkansas when he came back, and I was thinking, I don't know how good this horse is going to be. Of course, he looked great in the Rebel, and he came back to be even more impressive. I really feel like it was in between the Rebel and the Arkansas Derby that I got to appreciate American Pharoah, just the ease in which he travels and the ease in which he does everything. I mean, he's been called a freak more times than one, and it really is true. He just has an effortlessness about him. That being said, I have been a Dortmund fan since before Dortmund started his first race. I remember watching him break from the gates, sitting with Bob Baffert and Kaleem Shaw. I'm like, who the heck is this horse? And they called him their secret weapon for the longest time until I finally found out his name. And so I'm going to go Dortmund over American Pharoah. I'm sure that a lot of people are just thinking that American Pharoah is going to be impossible to beat because he is just really not done anything wrong since that debut, but I think that he has effortless talent. I think Dortmund's been running on raw talent, and now he's starting to figure things out, and that's going to be a really scary situation for a lot of horses because Dortmund, to me, is one of the freakiest horses.
Michelle, distance is always a common denominator that you just still are kind of drawn on from the dark because none of these babies, and I still call three-year-olds lightly raced, babies to get the mile and a quarter. Who's the one maybe that most likely pedigree wise might sputter to get to that distance, especially if the horses you've already commented about?
Well, I mean, I think that as we see a lot of horses that are being by horses that have run successfully in Triple Crown races, even if they haven't won, they've run this classic distance before. You know, you always think, well, yeah, that horse has a chance. I mean, American Pharoah, his sire obviously ran very good, finishing second in the Derby. You know, you have Carpe Diem, who's by Giant's Causeway, who easily his horses get the distance. There's 11 Drop Kid offspring in there in materiality. And as far as Dortmund goes, Dig Brown obviously took down, you know, two-thirds of the Triple Crown, even though he had distance limitations or distance questions about him based on his pedigree. He has been able, you know, to overcome that, and so far Dortmund has as well. I think that there's some horses like maybe Danzig Moon that he's by Malibu Moon where they kind of deteriorate the longer they go, and then he has a Danzig on the bottom side. So while he's a two-turn horse, I'm not sure if he's a classic distance horse, and he's kind of been the wise guy horse in the mornings. He's just sensational looking physically. He's a great specimen, and so people really gravitate towards that. You know, he's got one of those looks, that dark bay with the big white blaze that people can really pick out, and so they start to follow him and they start to love him. But he's one that I'd be questionable on his distance limitations.
Michelle Yu, Santa Anita, is joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, breaking down the Kentucky Derby, and we went over the Kentucky Oaks here a little bit. Let's ask about our horse, Steve-O. I about fell to my knees when you told me that you agreed with me a little bit here out of nowhere. Your thoughts on the number three horse, Materiality, Michelle?
Oh, you guys are Materiality fans, both of you together?
I was sickened by it because we can't. That means we'll probably both be wrong, so tell us why we will.
Well, you know, I mean, how do you dislike a horse that hasn't lost a race, right? I just worry about seasoning. I feel like in a race like the Kentucky Derby, I like the horses that have a couple more starts under their belt. I'd like to see them with five or six starts. And even in the situation, say it took them to break their maiden three times, I just prefer that. You know, he hasn't done anything wrong, obviously, and he deserved his chance to be in here. I take nothing away from him except for the fact that he's just lightly seasoned. And when you wind up in a field of 20, there is a lot of bumping, jostling, yelling, moving, pushing, shoving. There's so much going on. And I hope that he's going to be mentally stable enough to handle all that, because a lot of those times, those lightly raced horses, you know, you see him back up real quick. Even Curlin couldn't, you know, buck that kind of a trend.
I was just going to ask you about Curlin, Michelle, because that's what this horse, Materiality, that's who he reminds me of. Of course, history says it can't happen, or it hasn't happened for, what, 130 years? Because materiality, just like Curlin, never raced as a two-year-old, unbeaten in three starts coming into the Kentucky Derby. Curlin had a bad trip and finished third, but we all know what happened to Curlin down the road. Materiality. What was the name of the horse? Apollo was the last horse
Apollo,
that ever ran as a two-year-old
Apollo
to win the Kentucky Derby in 1884.
Yeah, the Apollo curse rings true. It's just one of those things, you know, just like the horse that wins the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, with the exception of Street Sense, doesn't come back to win the Derby either. So I think that those curses, that they last that long, kind of ring true to me. And, you know, materiality's up against it. I'm also not in love with his post position draw, I have to say.
Yeah, and then Johnny Velasquez, you would think, would have his choice, right, of any of the Pletcher starters, and he goes from materiality to Carpe Diem, but he drew inside as well. So, hey, Castellano's not a bad substitute, I might add.
You know, being a kind of a interesting fact is that Todd Pletcher ended up getting five horses into the Derby. He only has four starting, and it might end up three. There's still the chance that he is going to scratch one of his horses. Stanford might not be running, and he's actually been the naughty boy in the mornings. You should see the photos and the videos of this horse. He is just constantly on play in the mornings, half wanting to run off, half wanting to leap around the racetrack. We'll have to see if he goes postward, and if not, it ends up with Fermento from the Nick Zito barn getting in as one of our two also eligibles, and that could make for a really interesting thing as well, because Nick Zito is chomping at the bit to get his horse in, and he's a guy that started at one time five horses one year in the Kentucky Derby.
Last minute with Michelle Yu. Michelle, our listeners, multiple hit the trifecta last year, so they also wanted to pay when they hit the trifecta. Who is this year's commanding curve?
Well, you know, if another horse ends up falling out, Dallas Stewart could go for three in a row with these long-shot second-place finishers, because he definitely has one of those on the outside, the 22 also eligible Tale of Verve, who just broke his maiden this week. You'd get a great price on him if he winds up for some odd reason getting in. You know, with all the horses in here, I am picking Dortmund on top. I still like Carpe Diem, even though I don't love where he's drawn. I think being down there in the two-hole is something of a troublesome burden for him, but he has shown time and time again that he is one of the most consistent performers. He's got lots of racing under his belt, and he's carried his game from racetrack to racetrack. So I'm going to use him, and I'm going to hope that he's going to wind up being a little bit of an overlay rather than an underlay. And I think that Frosted is going to be my third pick in there. No major prices for me. I think there's a lot of ways you can go, but I'm probably not going to get any of my horses at over 8-1.
Michelle, on a personal note, I've just been dying to ask you this. What's it like to go to work every day at Santa Anita, one of the most gorgeous, if not the premier racetrack in all of North America? I mean, do you ever have a bad day at the races, work-wise?
You know, you really can't. It is like a dream come true. I work with John White frequently, and he always said when he was growing up, he came to Santa Anita and said, one day I'm going to work here. And it was the first track I ever got to go to when I was a little girl. So the fact that I call that my workplace is like, it's not even work. I can't believe that this is my job, that I get to come here every day and watch the races. And a lot of people tell me, like, how are you happy all the time? Because I'm pretty upbeat and upgoing. I'm like, are you kidding me? Do you see what I do for a living? I love this. It's one of the most amazing things that's ever gotten to happen to me, was to get the chance to work at Santa Anita.
You know, I hear the same thing just working out here at Fodder Park. Michelle, I had a guy come up to me the other day and said, please tell me you get up in the morning, look at yourself in the mirror, and have to jack yourself up to get excited about calling a $2,500 claiming race. And I said, I don't have to jack myself up. This is the greatest gift I've ever been handed by the general manager at Fodder Park. I just wish I'd started 30 years sooner.
You know, I work at Los Alamitos as well, and I do their simulcast, and my husband ran horses there for a long time, and same thing. People ask, are you excited to come to Los Al, but they have, like, lower-level claimers. I'm like, doesn't matter. These horses are running as hard as they were if they were in the Kentucky Derby. They don't know what they're running for. It makes it fun and exciting, and I love it. I love the atmosphere of the racetrack.
Well, Michelle, we always appreciate your time here on the Doug and Daddy Show, and hopefully we can do it again before the Belmont and the Preakness if you have time.
Anytime, you guys. Thank you so much, and it was a pleasure. And I'll keep my fingers crossed for materiality to finish second to Dortmund. How's that sound?
Well, whatever makes us cash tickets, right, Michelle? We'll see what happens.
Sounds good to me, guys.
Take care, girl. Thanks for the time.
Thanks.
Michelle Yu. And of course, you gotta preface some of this, Steve-O, with Dortmund is the horse that won the Santa Anita Derby that you see. And obviously, if a horse ran at Exarban Fawner anywhere in a big race in Grand Island and had that opportunity, I mean, let's face it, we were rooting for Whitey's horse when it was going. We were rooting for any connection that you have, Van Berg, any connection to Nebraska. You just all of a sudden get those rose-colored glasses thinking, oh, yeah, I can find a way. You can always find a way for that horse to be the one.
That's why they have to limit this race to a 20-horse field. That's why horses like Mind That Bird, who, as Tony told us years ago, has no business being in that race, and he comes from last to first to win it all at boxcar prices. I mean, that's what makes the Kentucky Derby so special. And I hope that it never changes. I understand why they had to minimize it to just 20 horses. I mean, just talk about a cavalry charge to the first turn, and most races are lost in that first run down the stretch. But thank you so much for having Michelle Yu on. I've had to drag a few horse people in along the way just visiting with you, but now to be able to branch out and talk to people that are involved on the national basis, you've made my day. I'm just tickled to death. And she's a new kid on the block for all practical purposes. And these young gals, I mean, that's another reason why, I've kind of given up hope of broadening my horizons and going to a regional or a national kind of a track, because I'm too old, first and foremost. They want these good-looking gals out in front of the camera now. And the good news is, they know what they're talking about. I mean, there isn't anything you could challenge these people on. You'd think they'd been around as long as I have. I mean, their knowledge base is infinite, and I'm impressed by that.
So, again, and tomorrow, Gino Bucola, and he's got to go right off the top of the show tomorrow, folks. So if you're a Gino fan, he's our first guest tomorrow, scheduled for 11:05. Michelle likes Dortmund, Carpe Diem, American Pharoah, and Frosted if you're looking for a super or a four-box try. We are going to recap what happened last night with the Storm, last week with the Bosselman, and preview the final week at Fawner Park. But before we do that, let's give you a chance to win a family four-pack of tickets to the Nebraska Danger. We're live here at Bandits in Grand Island. Always make that part of your run. If you're in Grand Island, you can make it a part every day. If you're coming in for any of the special events, pre- and post-game is here, or if you come in to golf, one of the area golf courses, bring your scorecard in. First drink, only a buck here at Bandits. But I've got a family four-pack of tickets to the Nebraska Danger. If you have not won before, you can call now at 888-455-3776. Cole Manhart of UNK, hoping to have his name called in the NFL draft over the weekend. There have been a handful of lopers, whether it's Kearney State or UNK, to have their name called in the draft. To many people, there's only a couple names that they're going to really recognize, like Randy Rasmussen, the first one to go back in 67, along with Ken Carman. But, of course, Tom Kropp was drafted by what NFL team in 1975? He was in the eighth round, the 190th pick. What team drafted Tom Kropp in the 1975 NFL draft? The first correct caller is the winner, and we'll be back with more after this.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Assisted living, is it about help with the daily needs of living or about getting more out of life? Is it about the services offered or the spirit in which help is given? At Good Samaritan Society Hastings Village, the difference is in a philosophy that everyone deserves to feel loved and valued. In fact, it's a lot more than assisted living. It's a little help from your friends. For more information on assisted living, give us a call at Good Samaritan Society Hastings Village or find us on the web at good-sam.com.
Have you ever seen a rusty fish? The same way scales protect a fish from his environment, the Armacoating spray-on bed liners from the Dent Popper protects your pickup bed. No rust, no dents, no scratches, no chemical corrosion. So your truck has a longer work life and holds its value longer. Reduces load slippage, and here's a bonus, it quiets the ride. See the Dent Popper north of Railroad on First, on the bricks, downtown Kearney, and get a free estimate for an Armacoating spray-on bed liner. Guaranteed for as long as you own your truck.
Hi, this is Ron Wall with Cargill Ag Horizons Marketing Services, better known as CAMS. As a personal marketing manager, I bring Cargill's global knowledge to your home or office by delivering unique insights that can benefit your operation. When you work with CAMS, you have expert marketers working for you so that you can concentrate on the business of farming. To learn more about how our disciplined approach to risk management can benefit your operation, call me at 402-710-1200. Cargill, helping farmers prosper.
Giving back to the community has never been easier. May 1st is Give Hastings Day, a 24-hour opportunity to give to your favorite nonprofit organizations through the Hastings Community Foundation. Log on to givehastings.org on Friday, May 1st, and make your donation. It's that easy. You can win bonus money for your favorite charitable causes and enjoy some friendly competition. Plus, your donation stays in the Hastings area. Shape the future of Hastings in a single day on Friday, May 1st for Give Hastings Day. Live here, give here.
Fritz's Market in Hildreth would like to take this time to congratulate the Wilcox Hildreth graduating class of 2015. Best wishes from everyone at Fritz's Market in Hildreth. The State Bank of Hildreth would like to take this time to say congratulations and best of luck to the seniors of the class of 2015. M&J Signs does a wide variety of signs, from pole signs to billboard signs and everything in between. Design may be supplied by you, or we can help you design your company logo. Congratulations to the class of 2015. We are so proud of each and every one of you.
Duncan Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, back at the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. We do have a winner for our danger tickets, actually another Doug in Kearney. Knew that the Pittsburgh Steelers were the team that drafted Tom Kropp out of then Kearney State back in 1975. Steve-O, you knew that one.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Tom and I grew up not that many miles apart, he coming from Aurora, and I born and raised here in Grand Island, and we knocked heads together early on in our athletic career, and he was certainly a wake-up call for me because he drove me out of dreaming to be anything, Major League Baseball player to a football player, and I've never thanked Tom for that. But then I went into broadcasting to try to, you know, kind of hang in there with the sports crowd, and Tom always was part of the game back then as an athlete. Now I'm a professional broadcaster, trained journalist, some would argue that point, but so I spent many a conversation with him reporting his career, and that was really big stuff back in 1975. Oh, to be drafted huge. Both by the NFL and the NBA, it's a rare situation anymore, but you know, here's a guy that was always faced with all these choices. You know, he actually showed up simultaneously when I did at the University of Nebraska and left after like 2 or 3 days, you know, which is really was a downer for all of us. We dearly wanted Tom to be a Cornhusker, but he knew in his heart what the right thing was to do, and he's always seemed to make the right choice ever since. And I have nothing but great things to say about him.
Exactly. There's no doubt about it. And as we said, we're here at Bandits. Come on in. Enjoy lunch here today. I'll talk about that in a moment. But as we said, the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth brings us here. And not only do they take care of every customer, they have special national incentives that come from their dealerships. For the graduates, you've earned something special. If you are a recent graduate, even within the last 2 years or will be in the next 6 months, they've got special incentives that get you off on the right foot and save, especially on the Chrysler College Grad Program. And how about honoring those who serve with the $500 military bonus cash on select models? The special offer is for those who've risked their lives defending us. If you're active, active reserve, retired military reserve, or an honorably discharged veteran within 12 months of the date, you're eligible for that $500 military bonus cash under their military incentive program. It's all a part of what they do for the community. The Midway Auto Dealerships, South 2nd Avenue, Kearney, and thinkmidway.com. So much more to talk about. We're way over, but we're here at Bandits. We're having a lot of fun, and we hope that you'll stop by and enjoy wing night or the buffalo chicken salad with French bread today, garlic bread here as the lunch special for $4.99. I will touch on the storm, then Steve will touch on the Postleman. The storm lost last night in something that you don't see in sports. I've got two or three comments. First, Jim Halton is not long for the storm. He's too good a coach, he's too good a man, and he will, whatever that next step is, will take it, and he will take it soon. I hope that whatever that is, whether it's after this year or after next year, that the Storm can finish off for the fans that have been so loyal and the team that has worked so hard. And one of the reasons why is you can see talking to the coach and talking to the captain, Garrett Gomez, after a loss last night where many people, and you can always blame officiating, but a lot of people were unhappy with that last night, particularly a call or two. And Coach Holton voiced that to us media members that were there after the game. But it was all done, that was just a small snippet. It was all done with class. He said, and Garrett Gomez, the captain of this team, agreed, and again, you're talking about a young 19, 20-year-old kid, young man, that said, we played well. We got beat. This is the Western Conference Finals. It's supposed to be competitive. It's supposed to be tough. I mean, there wasn't a lot of stick-throwing, busting-up stuff, crying. It was one game. This is a confident Storm team, and you can talk a lot of sports. And this is hockey. You can talk. You do not see that after a loss very often. It's, oh, we didn't do this right. Oh, we didn't do that right. Sure, they didn't score on the power play enough. Sure, they didn't take advantage of a 5-on-3 that they had early in the game. That was not the tone of the discussion after the game last night. And I am confident that the Storm will win at least one of the two games up in Sioux Falls, either both to win it or one to bring it back to Kearney for a game 5. Which would be on Tuesday night. And again, you can hear those games on the Breeze 94.5 because there's so much going on. Steve-O, getting to the Bosselman last week. The three favorite horses were the first three that crossed the finish line. I told Jimmy Langan when I saw him on Saturday, a race before the Bosselman, we had observed that the speed had got to the front and held. And I said, I'll tell you right now, I'm still not going to change, but now I have that pit gut feeling that Joy Boy will be able to hit the board, and your prediction did come to fruition.
Well, I certainly threw in the towel in case you couldn't notice a change in my voice at the head of the stretch, because at the eighth pole, Diamond Joe had a half-length advantage over Joy Boy. Historically, horses run the way they like to run, and Joy Boy, with 43 previous attempts at the plate, when he relinquishes the lead or has a horse run eyeball to eyeball with him, his heart gets about the size of my wedding ring here, and they back up. It's just some innate feature of thoroughbred racehorses. And so to see Joy Boy battle back and defeat Diamond Joe at the end was phenomenal. And the roar of the crowd, you were there at the top of the lane, and it's down to just Joy Boy and Diamond Joe. And Diamond Joe has certainly been a godsend for the local Fawner fans. We don't get too many what I term darling horses come down the pike over the years, and I think it'll be even less, especially Nebraska breds in the future. But I went out and I knocked on Chuck Turco's barn door this morning, because I always like to let 4 or 5 days pass before you get a true gauge of the reaction of the connections of the loser, especially. And Chuck was, to say angry would be an understatement. He's still on a slow burn. And he said, you know, there's 8 horses that went to the post in there, Doug. He thinks that only 2 of them, he and Joy Boy, actually were running to win that race. Dr. Peter, there was no absolute explanation for him galloping all the way around the racetrack third and never, ever had a move of any kind in him. These things happen from time to time. But then Chuck looked at me and he said, you know, I'm not one for excuses. You only need one to lose a race. There's hundreds of them to get beat. But I can tell you this by looking at pictures then this morning, that coming down the lane, the explanation that Turco gave in regards to Diamond Joe taking the lead and then backing up in the final 16th of a mile, he had a shoe slip, and he showed me a picture of it, and he said, imagine, if you will, nails just pounded into the soft spot on the heel of your foot, and he says, you don't think this didn't have a play in the outcome of the race. He thinks, Chuck Turco, that Diamond Joe ran better last week in a losing effort than he did 2 years ago when he won and became the only Nebraska bred up until this point in time to win the Bosman race. It certainly was one of the all-time great events for a two-horse run down the lane. I couldn't ask for anything better. And for those of you who weren't there, you may have missed the outcome, because unless you listen to Platte River Radio, there weren't many media outlets that covered the last Bosman race. But the crowd was huge. Horse racing is still alive, especially at Fauner Park. And as I was visiting with Bruce Swihart this morning, whose dad was the first general manager for 25-plus years out there, could you have ever thunk last week could happen? There's over 15,000 people at the venue they call Fauner, with 6,000 people jammed in at the Heartland Events Center right next door to watch a girls' University of Nebraska women's volleyball game. At the same time, they went into the starting gate for the Bosman, where there was over 9,000 people. It was a sight that I'll never, ever forget. It was truly one for the archives.
This is the last weekend of live racing, Friday and Saturday, and then it's simulcasting only, but there's still activity going on.
Lots of activity going on. I mean, all those big state fair barns out there, they're more than just barns. They're awesome, and it's too numerous to... they give me a sheet every day of the activities going on. And
well, tell me about the races.
I have a hard enough time trying to memorize 5 to 10 horses going to the starting gate. And if you recall the way I started the Bosman last week, I didn't do a very good job of that. But, yeah, you know, what a great problem to have. They've opened up parking now on these Saturdays especially, because we have become a destination spot here in Grand Island. And it's only going to get bigger. They're only going to build more venues out there. I've never heard so much talk about Keith Urban up until American Idol this year. I didn't even know who Keith Urban was. And now he's going to play in the infield right around Lake Fauner there. They think they're going to get, 24,000 people pushed in. I don't know how they're going to pull that off. But yeah, there's a lot of exciting things going on. And as I always say, the good news is, we get to do it all over again tomorrow here at Fauner. Whether it's simulcasting or whatever your love is, it's going on out there.
Folks, a couple more notes and then we're out of here at Bandits, but they're here all the time, 7 days a week, taking care of you. Hastings College Baseball is underway with Morningside GPAC Tournament, currently airing on 1230 AM KHAS. Hastings softball season came to an end with the 2 losses yesterday in the GPAC Tournament. UNK Baseball is at Central Missouri tonight, game one of the best of 3. There in the MIAA. Royals are back home to take on Detroit. The 4-game series begins tonight, 7:10 on the Breeze, 94.5. The Huskers depart today to go out to Northwestern. The softball team for the Huskers starts tomorrow in their final homestand as they take on the Illinois Fighting Illini. And just down the road here in Donovan, they're shooting trap. If you're hearing guns, it's because they're at the Cornhusker Trap Shooting Association. And it's a record every year. Over 2,500 young shooters. The juniors are today. The seniors, the high school kids, will go Friday and Saturday. Just an amazing event in the Cornhusker Trap Shoot. Grand Island Baseball is home today for a doubleheader against Lincoln Southwest. Kearney Boys Sock the regular season at Millard West, which over the years has become quite the matchup between those two squads. We are here at Bandits. Hopefully you'll come in, too. That's going to wrap things up on the Doug and Daddy Show. Our lunch today at Bandits, buffalo chicken salad with garlic bread, just $4.99. Wing night tonight. Come in and enjoy that. Of course, happy hour every Sunday through Friday, 4 to 6, $2 domestics, $2 pints, $2.50 mugs are all here. And don't forget, Around the Corner, formerly 3, they've always got great live music here once, twice a month, and formerly 3 will make their next appearance Wednesday, May the 13th here at Bandits. Steve-O, I'm going to get your official picks tomorrow on the Kentucky Derby, maybe even the Kentucky Oaks, but as always, thanks for the time.
It's my pleasure, and as always, from my side of the table here, Doug, your listeners, Jimmy Langan, I can't wait to see you at the races.
And folks, we want to thank our other guests because we were jam-packed. Paul Stevens, Northwestern baseball coach, Mike Davis of the Nebraska Danger, Jay Rude, vice president of the MGM Resorts out in Las Vegas, and Michelle Yu, track analyst at Santa Anita in California, all here on the Doug and Daddy Show today. If you missed any of it, check out our podcast, Doug and Daddy Show, at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug Gudas saying, join us tomorrow. Gino Bucola from the TVG Network, Jimmy Langan, and a whole lot more here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Drew. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.